And we're pumped up to be here. Welcome back to The Last Storm.
What's up, guys? What's
up? My name is Mark. I'm back with Dave, and we're here to talk about the Thunder. And, well, let's just kind of admit, we're going to pick up where we left off from the last episode. Dave, you said some crazy shit about 7 championships in 20 years, but that's down the road. Let's think about this first. Where are we going to be next year? Because I'm hearing even the smart people start to say that they think that we're going to win 50 games, bro. We got a comment from Bill that made our head start spinning, and we should talk about this, bro. What do you think?
Well, let's just be honest. Like, Bill Wright, and there's no better last name for Bill than Bill Wright, because you're fucking on the money, man. Like, when we start thinking about it, a lot of times that we don't have the balls to be able to sit up here and say we think the Thunder can win 60 games next year. You know, like that takes a lot of. Kahunas, big kahunas, be able to sit here and say, I think the Thunder can win. But you put that in writing, man. And you're right. And the way that you explained it, man, it's something that creates passion amongst these diehard Thunder fans. And it got me going. It got Mark going. And we got to talk about this. Like, this is later in the day. We usually do our podcast at 7 in the morning. This is like 1 o'clock. So the fact that you wrote this and it created this type of passion is truly spectacular. But you said that you think that this team can win 60 wins. And I want to make this clear, guys. Like, there is no way this team wins 60 wins without Dort. Dort is the main key in this ingredients of our defensive scheme and the way that we play defense. Dort is the key here, guys. All right? So with that being said, I don't feel like we gave him enough credit on our last pod about this. You know, we were kind of called out about it. But listen, there's never been a time that we haven't included Dort into our brainstorming, into what we're trying to put together with the podcast. Dort's been injured for a couple games, or for a month almost, it feels like. So that's also another reason why we've kind of let him be like Dort, you know? Like, listen, we know what we're getting out of Dort. We know we're going to get 12 to 18 points out of him a game. We know we're going to get a couple stops. We know we're going to get some hard-nosed defense. And it's not about, you know, us leaving Dort out of a list. It's Dort belongs on every list that we talk about. It's just sometimes we decide that we're going to talk about the three young-headed monsters, or we're going to talk about the big guys or whatever. And it's just, you know, it's Dort. And we feel like we know exactly what we're getting out of Dort, so we don't always have to sit there and pull what we think we know we're getting.
And you're right, man. Like, look, we get it. Dort's been working his ass off, and we appreciate anybody who's spending time making sure Dort gets the credit he deserves, because in the end, no matter how well anybody else plays, we're still going to miss Dort, the way he creates extra possessions and stuff. But if we are full strength, and that assumes, you know, SGA, Chet, Giddy, Dort, and our bench overall stays healthy, right? Is 60 wins possible?
All right, so last beginning of the season, when we talked before Chet got injured, you said that you believed that this team could get 50 wins. Yeah. All right?
I think I questioned that.
I said that with Chet or without Chet, I believe this team would get someplace around 40 to 45 wins. That's what my prediction was. Obviously, I wasn't more on the money like you are with your guess.
No, yours is pretty good, too.
My point is that I feel... Not only after realizing that this was our predictions about this year and realizing how much better these players are than we originally thought, like I can't help but think that Bill Wright is onto something. Like 60 wins seems like a hell of a lot of wins for what we consider the second youngest team in NBA history, which really we're just competing against ourselves in that youngest category right there. So, you know, like I look at this and I say, can this team win 60 wins next year? And it's yes. Not only do I think they can win 60 wins, but if we can win 60 wins, then we're the clear favorites to win a championship.
So favorites.
I mean, just think that. Let that settle, like sink in, guys. Think about that. 60 wins for a team that's going to be considered the third youngest team in NBA history. 60 wins plus a championship. Like that's bonker shit. Like if we stay healthy, this is possible. Next year, I think we're going to get a taste of truly what this team is capable of doing. But the year after is what I've always been looking at and circling. Right. You know, it's not 2024, it's 2025. I've circled for a long time saying that's the year that I think we can win a championship. And that was before we had Chet. That was before we had Josh Giddey. So for me to say that I think we can win a championship a year early. I do. I this team is so much more better than I thought.
So competing for a championship to me means getting into the conference finals or being right on the cusp, right? You can get to that point where you're in game seven and you miss out in the conference finals, but you're really competing with the teams that are going to go on to win championships.
You're saying this year?
Maybe not necessarily this year, although I wouldn't want to.
Do you think? I'm going to ask you a hard question. Do you think that we can get to the second round of the playoffs this year?
For sure. I think it's going to a lot depend on the matchup. But one thing that I like about this team is it reminds me a lot of like a college team, which is like their momentum is being built. And everybody knows that the most important thing is to get hot at the right time. Because if you can get hot at the right time with these college teams, then you can go on to the Final Four. And maybe you didn't have a team that was really competing to make it to the tournament until you got to that point where you won your conference championship. And then all of a sudden you're like a Cinderella story walking into the tournament with nothing to lose. That's how we could be. And if you don't think so, I understand.
Mercer, George Washington.
Right.
There's so many teams out there that are 11 seeds that have been able to pull stuff off that have been impossible.
Right. Like. And so coming back to what what we're pulling off here is we're seeing a depth of our talent returning as we get healthy after the All-Star break. So I feel like we're going to kick it in another gear. And I think from where we are to actually not even being in the playing game, like there's a significant break. Yeah. There's the top four. And then from there, I think you have like a little spot where we could slide in at maybe five or number six. And if we could do that, then you're looking at it and you're like, well, we could be in a really favorable.
Wow, five or
right,
six.
To move to round two. If, look, if we sneak into the play-in game,
that makes me excited, man.
It would be,
makes me pumped.
We would not be the favorite. That's obvious. But if we could get into that five or six range, then we could actually take things to the second round. The reason I think that that's a big possibility is because when you think about the history of the team that we have, yes, we are young, but Shea has 2 years of playoff experience, right? So we're not looking at this.
He's a veteran,
and he can show the guys like, hey, we can win a series. Is he going to take us all the way to the finals the first year he takes this group out there? Yeah, that's not going to happen. But what we can see happen is us suddenly be out there.
But I got a question. When did Denver make it to the conference finals? I felt like that was a few years back, and they were pretty young, right?
They were young. And it could just be from the right.
I think they were under 25, right? Jokic was under 25, 26, something like that. And Jamal Murray was 24. My point is that's completely possible. Like, this team could do something surprising like that and pull something out of the hat when other teams can't get healthy.
Right. And then from there, that's why next year I think, we really could be a legit contender. Like Chet's first year, J-Dub's second year, Shea's, second year is in the MVP conversation, Josh Giddey, doing what he does, Lou Dort doing what he does, our bench really coming along. We're going to be really tough out. So I think this year, like, we're going to be in the playoffs. I don't think we're going to get eliminated in the play-in game. I think we're going to make it to the full-blown playoffs. And then from there, I think that we can be a contender. If we miss out on the play-in and the playoffs or whatever, it's unlikely we'll be considered a contender in any circumstances. But if we have a situation that it's sort of like similar to what the Houston series, where we go to game seven and we don't make it to the second round, everybody's going to be talking about us because we're an up-and-coming team, and that will get everybody's attention.
Yeah, and we had one of our listeners, I forget who it was, throw yourself in the comment, whoever it was, but they said they had a dream that we were the seventh seed going into the playoffs. To me, that seventh seed is money. If we go into the play-in at seventh seed, I'm happy. Mm-hmm. Six seed, five seed, four seed, it doesn't matter. This team is capable of getting there and playing at a very high level, because if you look at the teams that we play the rest of the year, right, we got the Clippers a bunch. We've got the Lakers a few times. We've got the Suns a couple of times. I mean, we've got enough games against top of the line teams that if we come out ready to play, like, I know people are saying 10 and 15 is the goal, right? And listen, the 10 and 15 would be huge for this, because that means we probably sneak in at the 8 seed or something like that, someplace around there. But the reality is this team really needs to flip that, man. That we really need to flip that. We need to go 15 and 10. And if we have an opportunity to get, 18 wins, we got to take that. Because you're right. If we're clicking at the right time and this team is in sync and everybody's playing well and Shea's taking up to that next level, like, we're making it to the playoffs and beyond.
Right.
Like, because there isn't a team that is designed that's ready for us. I mean, they don't know how to play our defense. They don't know how to play with our offense. I mean, you get teams that are able to score 130 points on us, and we come back and score 140 on them. The way that we play is so next level. It doesn't matter. You want to throw something at us, we'll throw it right back at you in the way that we want to throw it back at you, and we'll force you to play this way and make it so that you don't have a fucking option. And guess what? That's what's so brilliant about this. When people start talking about our starting lineup, they're like, oh, shit, I don't know where we're going to have this person play. Let's be honest about our starting lineup here, guys. Let's just throw this out there. All right? Chet. Okay? Mm-hmm. Then after that, you've got J-Dub, Josh, Dort, and Shea. All right? You got everybody covered right there. And people are like, well, what about the small forward? What about the power forward? Guess what? We're designing a new style of basketball out there. This is not the normal basketball out there. You cannot send out two or three big men against us anymore. There's not going to be that junk anymore. You can't go out and sit, all right, we got small forward, power forward, and center. That is changing, guys. That is no longer that. If you look at the way that we're playing right now, we look at the way that we're going to play in the future, it is going to be death by position. You go on to play us, you want to throw out a small forward and power forward against us, by all means, go for it. We're faster and quicker, and we're going to get to the bucket on you. We're going to pass the ball around. We're going to wear you down until you can't even pick your feet up off the ground. That's fine. Go for it. You guys want to go small ball? You don't have the guards to guard us. You don't have the length to guard us. You don't have the way to offense to get around our defenders because of their length, their size, and their speed. Nobody in the league is going to be able to handle what we can dish up. And it's going to be automatic. It's going to be soon, and it's going to happen so quickly that everybody that's been on the outside and on the rim saying, I don't know if I want to stick it in or not, it's going to be full-blown all the way in, 100% Thunder, because this is what's happening, man. Nobody is understanding what is happening except for the people that are listening to this podcast. You know why? Because nobody understands how to look at the game of basketball in the light of what's happened, what Sam Presti is doing. And nobody is willing to trust Sam Presti that he knows what's best for this team. We do. We believe in Sam Presti. We trust that what he is doing and what he's creating in Oklahoma City isn't just for a generation. It's for legendary status. He doesn't want to be known as a great GM. He wants to be known as the best GM ever.
For sure, dude. And there's no doubt in the end, when we look at the entire process that it's going to take for something like that to happen, it starts for us with competing all the way through this year, then coming back and really being in that conversation next year for a championship contender. And look, we saw Shea get kind of treated poorly over the All-Star break, you know, but in the end, he's going to be the biggest star at the All-Star break.
Do you think it was by design, though? Do you think it was like, hey, young man,
fuck yeah, dude.
You know, your coach and your organization said 10, 15 minutes, we'll give you 10.
No.
Do you think that, or do you think it was just disrespect?
I just think in the end, Shea has the tendency to try to show up and fit in and show out. Like, he did it in Kentucky. He started off the bench. He went with the Clippers, same thing. He's not going to show up at the All-Star game and just be jacking up shots. But, you know, in the end, sure, it was up to them to make sure he was in there for more minutes. But, yeah, like, LeBron's blocking his shot. Yeah, there was a little shade he was receiving. In the end, I think LeBron's kind of trying to do what they did to Russ and KD and Harden, which is, like, try to break up the team by treating everybody badly. But we're built with a different type of group right now, right? And there are people who don't take, you know, getting treated like that, like, oh, well, that means I'm inferior or whatever. Like they actually are like, well, that's just going to drive us closer. It's not going to drive them apart. And that worked in the Olympics.
It's that uncle feeling.
Right.
You know, like, you get an uncle that's picking on everybody, you know, and causing issues. Then all of a sudden it creates the brothers or the sisters. They become closer because of
right.
it.
Right. Exactly.
LeBron's being a dick to people, and it's just going to cause our guys to be like, hey, Shea, you didn't deserve that.
Yeah, you know? And how long is it going to be until Shea's coach is the one coaching the All-Star game, or Shea's the one that's the captain, right? And then he gets to do it how he wants to do it, right? Because LeBron, let's face it, he's only got a couple of years left, which is really the whole point of, I guess, what Bill's saying. And let's face it, he's right. Like, in the end, the Thunder can do this because there's a changing of the guards that's taking place. We can see it happening with the Warriors. We can see it happening with LeBron.
Yep.
And what happens is, like, a lot of times people think, okay, this group is the next group to receive it, so they're automatically going to get it. But then all of a sudden, an upstart team jumps up and takes one before it's their turn. And what happens when they take one, there's a domino effect, right? And that's what happened with the Warriors. They went out and got one before they were supposed to. They weren't supposed to be that good that early. And they got it, and then it created a shift, a power shift in the balance of power in the NBA. And what we're suggesting is that we're going to see that happen again, this time behind the Thunder. And that's why we're like so excited that so many people are joining us for this ride. It's because they see what's happening. And sometimes we would say these things to each other. Like, do you think this is happening? Like, is this a mirage? Is what we're seeing real? Or is it just because we're fans? And now we're getting feedback and people are like, no. I see the same thing. And they want to talk about it. And they're inspiring us to bring a different level of game because, like, instead of just, like, whispering to each other, we're standing up on top of a roof and we're saying, fuck it, dude. We're seeing something happen that's never happened before. Not at least in the way that this is happening. So buckle up. Get ready for the fucking ride of your life.
Couldn't have said any better, man. And we are going to be live tomorrow, guys. Join us then. We are excited to be part of it. We're excited that you are part of our lives. Love you guys. See you tomorrow.